All right, so Dark Archway, Leroy Jenkins!
And with that, hello everyone!
Hello!
Hi!
Welcome once more to Reckless Attack, a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. And I am, as always, your GM Nathan, surrounded by other people who are indeed playing in a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast here at Reckless Attack, starting with the individual across the table and to the left from me.
Yes. Hello, everyone. My name is Jonathan, and I play Checkers, the Grung Druid, and his trusty frog pals, Mango and Junior. And I'm not going to name any names or point any fingers, but I just think that we could have gotten here a lot faster if someone didn't stop Checkers from touching the tower while we were on the skyship, because that would have made this whole thing a lot easier.
Would it have?
I like to think so, yes. And to my left.
Hi, everyone. I'm David, and I play Kaskrin Brightmane, a Dwarven Sorcerer. And to some degree, I do have to agree with Checkers in that we probably could have skipped a lot of that, but...
Through what doorway? There's right. No doors
by
on the side of this tower. There's no windows.
Yeah.
But now we're finally here, and we are one step closer to our true goal of finding another tiny Grung person.
Yeah.
And that's pretty nice. And to my left...
Hi, everyone. My name is Steve, and I'm playing Setlv Asterlin, the Dragonborn monk, who is glad to have gone through some experiences and gained knowledge about what not to touch in a place like this.
Everything.
Pretty much
yeah,
everything.
Wow. Most things.
Yeah. But, you know, hey, anything you can live through, right? And we have a healer, so, you know, death is temporary to long-term, but not possibly permanent. Hard to say. Speaking of healers.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sophie, and I play Valeska Carter, the human asterisk cleric asterisk of the Arcana domain. And Val will not apologize for trying to keep a Grung alive.
I was really hoping you were going to say, and Val has 12 instances prepared of inflict wounds today.
Yes. All spell slots is only prepared that. Well, guys, you made it.
Woo!
Yay!
So, you've made it, sort of. You've made it to being on the cusp of making it. You have made your way into the center of the presumed destroyed, and, like, kind of destroyed. I mean,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Effectively.
It's pretty destroyed,
yeah. Yeah, it's less destroyed than people would have thought, but still destroyed. City of Nurhasset, the former capital of the Pentarchy, which was the site where the sun fell and where the Ultra Giants emerged to terrorize the world. You guys have made your way to the center of the city, where a unbelievably tall, imposing tower sits. It is just obelisks jutting up from the ground, layering on top of each other over and over, like an extremely well-ordered stack of needles pointing straight upwards. But right now, you are at the base of this colossal tower and see no guards, see no entrance, see no doorways, just see an open passageway.
So, question for you, Nathan. When we were on the Skystalker, we didn't really get a good sense of what this giant obelisk tower was for.
Hmm.
And now that we've made our way through the city of Nurhasset all the way up to the base of this tower, is there any indication, any sign of what this thing might have been used for? Or can we do a little bit of, you know, investigation or research while we're here?
Absolutely. I will ask... What would you like to roll? What are you investigating? Or, as a group, what would you like to be pondering?
Val is literally looking for signs.
You said there's, like, an open passageway close to where we're at?
Correct.
Is there a way... Kaskrin has dark vision. Is it like magical darkness in there, or is it regular darkness?
You're right, David. It should be magical darkness.
It should be magical darkness.
Just like
I'm not to ask a leading question, but like, man, magical darkness.
That's an excellent question. As you look, trying to scan the area for clues, signs, runes, a little map saying you are here, whatever, we'll say Kaskrin, being I think the one who has the most powerful dark vision of the group, are quickly able to realize that your vision only goes a few feet into the base of the tower before a curtain of darkness hits.
Cool.
Selva will kind of move up towards Cass and take his staff and just turn to Val and ask,
can you put that light back on the end of the staff, please?
Absolutely. And Val will cast light on the end of Selva's staff.
And then I'll take the staff and just kind of dip the end of the staff into the darkness and then take it out. And is the staff still whole?
Excellent question. When in doubt, put a stick in it.
Yeah. Yes. Kaskrin actively says to Selv, like, this is why you'll survive longer than the rest of us.
Selv, as you prod at the darkness, the stick passes through with no resistance. And as you withdraw it, it takes a moment. And then right at the very end, right as you're about to pull the end of the stick out, you see the cantrip light flare up again.
As we're all looking at stuff, Val will pull out the liminal looking glass and just try to sense if there are sentient creatures 30 feet around her, besides her own party.
There are certainly some behind you. You guys would be obscured and that kind of thing, but they are not that far away. And beyond that, nothing.
I don't sense anyone inside the tower.
Kind of backing up a little bit, too. Did we ever get a sense of what this tower was for?
Did I see any signs?
You do not see any signs. That's so what that's I what I mean is, like, you tell me what skill you are assessing this with. But yeah, otherwise, no.
I'm imagining investigation.
Investigation makes sense, for sure.
Are we each individually doing this?
Yes. It doesn't have to be investigation, but that was the answer to Checkers using his investigation.
I would like to use Arcana.
I think that is extremely useful, yes.
A 16 for Valfur.
Okay.
Checkers with a 15.
Mm-hmm.
Kaskrin with an 18.
Oh. Ooh.
Selv with a 14.
Those of you who rolled a 15 or higher on investigation... Sorry, Steve.
Steve, leave the room. You can't hear this.
Can't hear this. La, 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 la.
You're looking around, and when you guys were floating up above the city, it was strange, but it was just kind of just a weird time. Just weird. And maybe it's because you're down here at the base. Maybe because you're in the city. Maybe it's always been going, and you've just been too busy to notice. But the two of you feel and hear a hum. It's just like your mind clicks into place and realizes that you hear this actively. And you get a sense of activity and energy flowing up and down the tower. Val, you probably had this suspicion previously. Each of the obelisks has runes on it. And man, you could spend hours trying to decode them, trying to put them all together, because they're all different as well. But you are more certain than ever that this is some sort of locus of power. This is an antenna for amplifying arcane energies. Checkers.
Yes.
You approach the darkness.
So I'm going to do one thing real fast. I'm going to use the Mantle of Still Waters on myself.
Okay.
And prevent extra-dimensional travel.
Ooh, okay. I love that.
Just nice. In case I end up in a separate dimension.
Yeah,
seems fair, actually.
Right. That's it's worth preventing, yep. I would say, for sure.
And then I'll tell the rest of the party, if I'm not back in 5 minutes, I'm dead. Bye. And Checkers.
What? No.
steps into the darkness.
Okay. And you're going alone.
I'll go with Mango.
Okay.
The two of us will kind of sneak into the tower by ourselves.
Mango gets teleported.
Yeah. No.
Lost another frog.
No.
Okay, Checkers. How far do you go? The base of this is hundreds of feet.
Yeah. And it's all smooth, flat floor the whole way that I'm going. I'm not, like, stumbling into anything.
That you can tell.
Okay.
I do want to say that that's terrifying that yeah. It's just pure darkness. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine going to a cave and, like, having no idea or anything. That's awful.
Mm-hmm.
I'll walk maybe 60 feet into the room.
Give me a flat d20 roll.
All right. That's a 19.
Okay. You're 60 feet in. And again, you know that even if there's not strange space-time dilation shenanigans going on, that if you wanted to keep going, you'd be going for a while. And just as you guys are taking your last few steps, you hear a bonk.
Huh.
And it's a bonk I would say probably you're pretty familiar with, because it is the bonk of a mango.
Oh, no.
Running into something.
Oh, buddy, it's okay.
Face first. And he gives a little surprised croak.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a big surprised croak, because you guys have been walking through this pretty spooky darkness for, you know, a little bit now.
Yeah. And Mango is basically right. He's basically right beside me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to reach out a little bit and see, like, am I touching a wall or something? Like, what did Mango run into?
So you don't know if it's in the middle of the hallway.
Right.
You've been walking straight, presumably.
Right, right.
So as you feel around, it is a small, probably 4 foot tall obelisk.
Huh.
Presumably in the middle of this hallway.
I'm just going to reach out and, like, touch it and start, like, feeling around, see if this obelisk is, you know, if there's similar runes on it to what we've seen before. Like, what is going on with this particular tiny obelisk?
Mm-hmm.
I'll just start touching it.
And what a phenomenal approach that is, because you learn, I would say, a little bit about this obelisk by brazenly touching this thing in the darkness.
Right.
First, again, it's not very tall. It is in proportion to all the other obelisks that you have seen. And all up and down it are runes.
Okay.
Each rune is perfectly lined up on each of the four sides across from each other. And at each level of rune, there is a indentation that seems to be a point of locomotion, shall we say. A point of articulation. A point of spinning.
Yeah. At this point, I think Checkers is going to go out and call the rest of the group back in. So hopefully he's going to walk 60 feet back the way he came.
Oh, but before that happens.
Okay. Oh, no.
It gets more interesting.
Oh.
Because touching it, you get just a little jolt of energy.
Huh. I think I'll try to leave and just say to the rest of the group, you guys want to touch an obelisk with me?
I hope that's not a euphemism for something.
Honestly, yeah, I do.
Yeah, yeah, let's go.
Come on, let's go. It's totally safe, I promise. Mm-hmm. And I'll lead the rest of the party kind of like through the darkness. We're all going to hold hands. And I'll take them back to where Checkers found this spinny obelisk that he got this jolt of energy from. And I'll just go, check this out. And I'll start just like touching it.
Again, this is a small thing. It is in the same place as where you left it, Checkers. As you're kind of playing around with it, all the faces rotate.
Okay.
Independent of one another. And you can feel the kind of deep etched runes along the side of it. You still can't see it, of course, but you can start to pick up on some details.
I'm just trying to picture it. So four sides, and is it each, like the top section rotates, the middle section rotates?
Exactly.
And there's four sections?
Yes.
Okay.
Mal will start concentrating on a single side of Rune and get familiar with how it feels, and then rotate the next section until she feels the same ruin below.
So what this is going to be is a lightly deconstructed group skill check. Each of you, I guess including Mango, will need to contribute towards the solving of this particular obstacle. And we will start with Val, as you are just kind of trying to figure out what is on this.
One thing we could do is if anybody has any, like, charcoal or chalk and some parchment, we can put it on the side here and kind of, like, get a rubbing of the rune and then take those outside and then you can read them and then we can kind of figure out how to go from there.
I love that we never graduated from, like, first level adventurer tactics.
And that Steve is just here to be like, oh, make a little charcoal rubbing up.
No, I love that. I mean in the best way. But it's
yeah,
just,
right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
for sure. It's like, you know, the classics still work.
Yeah.
Poke something with a 10-foot pole, rub charcoal on it. It's great.
Right. Go from there. Well, Steve, that sounds like an interesting first roll for this skill challenge. I was thinking something, you know, kind of maybe dexterity-y, but I'm going to also say that while there are no guards around, you are still in a busy, haunted city filled with death. So what this is more going to be is how much time does it take? Not
gotcha.
Necessarily if you're going to fail or succeed. What do you think, you know, is there a skill that you would envision that being
well,
useful for?
I'd love it if it was perception or insight or survival, but my guess is sleight of hand would probably be something that would work.
I think sleight of hand is probably the choice.
All right. Hold it steady.
And actually, can somebody else help me with it? Like, hold the paper on there and so I can get a charcoal reading. Would somebody be able to use the help action to aid me in doing this?
Yes, I will allow that. And we'll say again, since Val was kind of really up there also helping study, we'll say that... Well,
it's
I guess,
Val's
yeah.
parchment and chalk.
Yeah, that's, yeah. That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, yeah. Fair, fair, fair.
So that's a nat 20.
Hey!
Nice. Nice.
And I'm glad I had the advantage because the other die was a 3.
Whoops.
So that is a total then, unfortunately, with the minus 2 of 22. But still, that's good.
That's quite
that
good.
Is more than enough for one success. You guys bring all the papers back out. Val, you now have an arrangement of different runes in front of you. You can read them, but it's not like immediately clear. You know, and this is even me assuming that you've, you know, kind of kept them in order of like, oh, these ones are at the top, these ones are kind of in the middle and blah, 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 all the way down. Okay, you see there's something here. How is Val trying to break down these runes even more than again? You can kind of get the vibe, get the sense of them.
Are there any runes that repeat on each level?
Certainly.
Are they all the same on each? Like, do the same four runes appear on each section that spins?
So are you asking, is it a Rubik's Cube?
Crafted? Is it like a Skyrim puzzle kind of thing?
Yeah. No, okay. It's not. It's more that there's kind of an alphabet to it. And it's not necessarily ABCD, but it's, you know, it is Skyrim where there's a fuss and there's a row in there and there's perhaps a dot even. but it's kind of more symbols of meaning. And there are some repetitions in the same way that there would be multiple vowels in a word puzzle, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So again, your best guess is this is either some sort of magical rune or is some sort of clue or password or something. But now this is kind of you, I'm imagining, kind of putting your library mental, you know, puzzling to good use. What skill would you like to use, Sophie?
Sorry, I would like to use library. But also, I took the linguist background, so I can create ciphers and have like proficiency in creating them? Does that help?
Does
me
it help
anyway?
Decode? Does it help,
does it
decode,
help
them?
Decode them at all?
I feel like it must.
I'm more than happy to reward background choices with proficiency. So 1,000,000%, yes.
Is this like triple expertise now?
Yeah, as written, I get 3 languages of my choice. You can create written ciphers that others can't decipher unless you teach them. They succeed on an intelligence check of DC 18, or they use magic to decipher it.
So yes, so what I'm going to say, Sophie, is do you have like a history proficiency, for example?
Yes.
Cool. So whatever that bonus is, I will give you that bonus for your cryptography linguist skills. But because it was an excellent pull and you were truly mining the depths of your character sheet, I will also give you advantage on this.
Okay, cool. 22.
Hey.
Glad I had advantage on the roll. Now one.
Natural one on the other one. As you're looking, it is both a word of power and like a, you know, kind of a command spell kind of thing, but also does make out a phrase. And it is rise.
Oh. I was hoping for light.
Yeah.
Alas. So that's the information. Again, there are plenty of other false positives, but that to you is that's the one. Like it just becomes kind of clear to you with that role that, oh, okay, that's what it is.
I would like to try something as Valeska is kind of like maneuvering these pieces of paper around to get this word of power.
And eyes glowing intensely. Yeah.
And this is probably something I should have actually tried a lot earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of I don't know if this will count as a skill check, but Castrin is going to cast See Invisibility on himself.
Okay.
Because the text of it says, for the duration you see invisible creatures, and you can see into the ethereal plane, ethereal creatures and objects appear ghostly and translucent. So I'm curious if, like, the city of Narhasar extends into the ethereal plane, allowing us to see through the magical darkness. Because they would appear ghostly and translucent in the see invisible vision.
But if they are ghostly and translucent already, how can you tell it's different ghostly and translucent?
Well, I'm imagining like it's normally dark, right? In the material plane. Mm-hmm. And then once we see into the ethereal plane, we can see the objects because they're ghostly and translucent.
Is it, or is it creatures?
Creatures and objects.
Creatures and objects. Okay.
You know, like does the room, like the vertices and the walls of the room become apparent? Because we're seeing through the material plane into something else.
Roll me a constitution saving throw.
Oh, God. All right. That is a 20.
Your mind is not melted in the brief moment
there you
that
go.
This happens. Yeah. You cast a spell on yourself, and when you open your eyes, the world is more real to you. Whereas things were that strange sort of translucent, sort of opaque, bluish hue. Now you can see color.
Huh.
Now you can see a little, not all the way, but things are much clearer to you now. The magical darkness, unfortunately, is still there.
Okay.
But you can now, instead of it being dark, bluish tint, it is dark black for you.
Is it like real colors, like as if I were in Narhasar previously, or is it like washed out kind of? It's just a little bit more real.
It is still a little washed out, but it is much closer to real.
Fascinating.
Again, it's like there's a filter on it now. Whereas previously there were suggestions of colors, like you could almost like squint and be like, that seems darker than others, and maybe that's a red, whatever. Now you can see it. It's just through a light Instagram filter.
Yeah. And Castrin kind of like looks around and says, oh, I can see a lot more. What is this?
The concentration or the constitution check was in part due to the kind of the shock of the change.
Yeah.
But also, now that you can see into the ethereal plane, and see invisibility. I'm trying to make sure that this isn't something my brain is just making up in the moment. Have you ever seen a fire that is so hot that it burns not just blue, but like a transparent?
Yeah.
Or at least imagine that.
Right.
And now that you're up close, now that you can see it, the tower is discharging that little bit of, we'll say, arcane energy.
Yeah, it's like both the thrumming from earlier, where it was just like hearing and feeling, now it's also seeing, where it's like this beacon, this obelisk in every plane, in every dimension, radiates power.
You get an inspiration for that.
Nice.
And Nathan will not forget that.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hi, everyone. David here with the Midroll. We hope you've been enjoying the episode so far. If you want more of the Reckless Attack crew, come join the community on Discord. The link is in the show notes of the episode and on our website, recklessattack.com. If you want to support the show, head on over to Patreon, where you can get access to our behind-the-screen talkback series, as well as our new series, Reckless a Snack, where we eat snacks and chat about the question of the day. As always, if you like the show, be sure to tell a friend about it too. Thanks so much for listening, and now, back to the episode.
So somehow Checkers went from exploring a cool, spooky tower by himself to doing a weird puzzle with words of power that he doesn't understand. He's like, all right, I guess we're out here then, huh?
The thrill is lessened a bit, yes.
And so he's going to turn to Mango. It's like, while we're trying to figure this out, can you just keep an eye out on things? Go take a look. See if anyone's looking at us. And I'm hoping that Mango can kind of use perception to just keep an eye out and make sure that we're not being watched while we're trying to figure out this puzzle.
Absolutely. And again, as the liminal looking glass said, there are still sentient creatures. Again, creatures is stretching it a bit, but the liminal looking glass is cool as hell. So that are still, again, within 30 feet even of here, which is, again, enough that you can be quiet and be cool. But if someone emerges suddenly, you guys could be in a lot of trouble very quickly. So very valuable, I think.
So this is going to contribute to our skill challenge, I hope.
Yes, indeed.
And Mango's going to roll a perception. That'll be a 22 with the exhaustion.
Nice. Wow.
Jeez.
Massive. Wow, we are real, like, it's either all on or all off.
Yes.
When it comes to this,
massive success.
Nice.
So do we think if we just put this obelisk in the right place, it's going to be like one of those elevators that's going to take us up?
I mean, it has to be. That's the only option.
I mean, we went through one of those at the library, right? We were chased by a dragon guardian of the library while going up the elevator the last time. So I'm wondering if there's anything, you know, guarding.
You guys have turned into dogs who just have like are afraid of elevators. Where just like one time it jostled them a little too much. And like, well, I can't go in there. I'll die.
I don't think we have a choice, but we can try to be as prepared as possible.
I'm just saying, prepare.
Be ready.
I hope we do. That sounds great.
So yeah, we'll head back into the darkness, knowing now the word of power.
You guys return to the obelisk, and it's very easy to manipulate it. You guys would have known that before. I assume you guys are putting it in the proper position. Who is putting it in the proper position? Whose grubby little adventurer hands are all over this obelisk?
I feel like it's still got to be Val.
Val's happy to do it. Happy's the wrong word. Val
does it.
Trust herself to do it.
Sophie, can you make me a dexterity saving throw, please?
Yeah. I mean, I'll roll, but I'm probably not.
Can you attempt a dexterity saving throw for me, please?
Why did I look to see what bonus I have? I don't have one.
None.
A 12. I say that's probably pretty good for Val.
The four of you hear Val cry out in pain.
Oh, no.
Dang.
Val, are you okay?
No. I don't know yet. Nathan hasn't told me.
I'm getting some dice out.
Was there any sound associated with the cry of pain? Any kind of like discharge or static or, you know, zot or anything like that?
I think that's an excellent question. And well, I think discharge and maybe even a zot. Definitely maybe a bit of electricity goes through the air. Actually, at that, I'm going to have everyone make me a dexterity saving throw.
Oh, man.
Cool.
Steve.
For checkers.
Hey, and Mango?
No.
Lame.
Selv with an 18.
Kaskrin rolled a 16, but because of all the minuses, it's actually a 13.
Mango with a 19.
That is a success.
Hey.
As is Selv's. You guys can't see what's happening to you. But what I'm telling you is happening is electricity zaps in between each of you, arc lightninging around through everyone who is in the area.
Does it light up the area?
No.
Dang.
Except for checkers, of course. Those who failed take 17 points of lightning damage.
So I know I can't see, but does the evasion kick in?
I don't believe so, because you cannot see or react to this.
It actually doesn't say. When you're subjected to an effect that allows you to make a dex saving throw to take only half damage, you instead take no damage. So, but
fair enough then.
But it's it like I understand. I can't see. I wasn't expecting.
What I would say though is that you, Steve, the player, asked the interesting question of what did it sound like, and you heard a berzap, and Selv could be like, I should hit the deck.
I should, yes. I should move, yes.
And so I will absolutely allow that to happen.
Thank you.
You passed, if I correct.
Yes,
you
rolled an 18. I had 18, yeah.
David, you did not pass.
Yep.
Sophie, you did not pass.
I took the damage.
Mango did pass. Yes.
You all, for a full round, are paralyzed. Except for checkers.
Yeah.
And except for Selv and Mango. You're slightly singed. Well, not checkers. Checkers, you're fine.
Okay.
And you kind of remember that little bit of tingle.
Yeah.
When you touched it.
Okay.
It was fine when you touched it.
Right.
And whatever happened.
When I was spinning it around, it was perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm. You have one round to do something.
Is everyone okay?
They're paralyzed.
Yeah, I seem to be all right.
Did Val finish turning it?
You locked it in. You're like, all right. You know, would it like... Val could have easily been like, all right, last letter, get ready for whatever's about to happen. Clunk.
Yeah. Nah.
Checkers is going to put his hands on the obelisk and see if he can, like, I don't know, will it to work better?
You don't know what all these other people are having a problem with this thing.
Yeah.
It feels nice, actually.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of tingly, but in a kind of empowering way.
Okay.
Maybe a familiar way to checkers. Last time he touched a kind of very powerful obelisk. Man, it's just a good thing that you're a very special little boy.
Okay.
A chosen champion, if you will. But like you said, you'd like to maybe exert a little willpower here.
Yeah.
Maybe assert yourself as perhaps a chosen boy.
Yeah. Half of me is going to try and get the elevator to rise. The other half of me is going to try and cast Finger of Death somewhere.
Excellent. Well, I will not count your split attention against you.
Okay.
Would you like to make perhaps a spell casting check or some sort of power of persuasion check, that sort of deal?
I would love to use my spell casting.
Just kind of give your own little oomph to it.
Of course. 16.
In Pentarchy standard, you all hear...
Identity confirmed.
Nice.
And checkers... You've reached out to Celestia Dreamweaver once or twice. A little bit.
Yeah.
There's been some basically like some pointing, some maybe some light gut feelings. You get the sense that something was, for a brief moment, channeled through you.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Everyone else feels good. Well,
I'll speak for yourself, Nathan.
I'll put it this way. You definitely feel better than if, say, that had continued another round. So you feel a little, you all smell a little ozone, but luckily, just as the pain resides, as feeling kind of starts to return into the various limbs, and or self just stands up.
Ooh, that was close.
You find yourselves out of the darkness.
Oh.
Because you are on a platform that is, well, rising. It's rising. You can see, you're in kind of, you know, a tunnel, you know, like a shaft.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going up, obviously. And it said rise, right? But man, just that feeling of when you go down in an elevator is hitting you.
Huh. So it's like, you know, that feeling in the pit of your stomach when you're dropping yeah. from something.
Yeah.
But we're just slowly rising up into the obelisk.
Yeah.
Do we feel that kind of thrumming energy get any stronger?
Oh, you can
as we
see
move?
It, baby.
Yeah.
You, Kasker and Brightmane, you can see it as you are rising up this platform. You can't say you go up, you go down, you rise, you fall. You move.
Yeah.
Hopefully. And as you rise, man, the sound in here is rough. Because it is the sound of just rock scraping against rock. After a few moments, in Pentarchy standard, you hear a voice.
Destination reached.
The sound of rocks rubbing against each other increases as on one side of this platform you've been rising on, all the obelisks start to rotate and fold into one another and open up into a hallway.
Wow.
It's a very short hallway, and there are no doors. But at the end, there is someone. Their back is to you. They seem to be hunched over a desk. There are several bright lights that seem to be emanating down the hallway, at least that you can see, especially, Kasker and Brightmane, that are flashing a variety of different colors, just slowly flickering red to blue to purple to green, etc.
Do you all see that? Someone's here.
Do we see that?
So you see the figure. You see the hallway. You see that there are kind of flashes. It is only Kasgren who can tell that something is changing, I guess, or how it is changing.
Is it also lit here?
It is, correct. Okay. It is not in darkness of any sort.
Okay.
Yes, we see.
And remind me, sorry, so there's several of these lights that are kind of around mm-hmm. this figure?
No, so essentially he is kind of hunched over a table.
Yeah.
And on this table are whatever is causing these lights are there, kind of like flashing up into his face.
Can I ask, Nathan, is this a grung that we see?
It is not.
Lame.
Can I tell anything about this figure?
Well, you with colored vision?
Yeah.
Oh, you most certainly can.
Okay.
Would you like to make a perception roll? And that this could be your contribution to the skill challenge, or it could just be for information gathering.
Yeah, I think because I have see invisibility up, I'm going to really take in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
This is different and new, and like Kasgren wants to know everything about what's happening to assess the danger. And so he's going to roll perception.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I'm giving you advantage on this because you have see invisibility on.
That is a 18.
So, for many, many reasons that will become very apparent in about 4 seconds.
Oh, no.
You immediately understand, if not what this person is doing, what this person is. And that is a guard. You have run into enough of them, both in your career as one, but also walking past the various shades that kind of infest the city here. being stopped at that checkpoint, kind of getting the once over by some of those people at that checkpoint.
Uh-huh.
And again, just because you're Kaskrin Brightmane. And we're like, that's a guard.
That's a guard. I get it. Yeah.
I know it. There's just that extra sense. And so there is a guard, a Pentarchy guard. He's not particularly heavily armored, seems to be, but, you know, probably decently equipped. Seems to be by himself and is just hunched over. Watching something, I guess, is the other interesting detail.
And it's one of the guards that is, like, fully corporeal?
Correct, yes.
Okay. All right.
That is a success for you, David, on this group skill challenge. With that success, that is indeed 5 out of 5 successes.
Hey, wow. Nice. this never happens,
yeah,
guys.
Right.
Which means that you get an auto double success on the tracker, and you get a little boon.
Hmm.
You all see hanging up on what appears to be, and I can't think of a better way to phrase this, a fantasy coat rack is, well, a coat and a badge of some sort.
Ooh.
And again, because of all these successes, I'm going to give you a little extra fun. Kaskrin, because you can see in color, you can make out the details of this.
So Valeska can read, and I can see.
You can see.
Hell yeah.
The rest of you, this is just a bright emanation of light with no discernible details. For Kaskrin, you see an outline of the tower.
Ooh.
That suspiciously looks a bit like a map. So, behind the screen a little bit, you guys know that this is a precarious situation filled with opportunity. A map is obviously a huge, huge advantage in this shifting eldritch tower made of smaller towers. And whatever a badge is, whether it is ID, key card, who knows what, probably useful to an extent as well. Having both would be great. Having one, I'm sure, would also be quite great. Having none, you know, doable, but not optimal. Having none and having this guard have a moment to sound an alarm, that's very bad. That's the one you don't want, I think. So your final group skill challenge is going to be, are we getting this badge? Are we going to try and study the map? Are we going to try and get both? And trying to do that in a scope of time where you won't get caught.
Hmm. Double or nothing, maybe.
and so, all but the most direst of failures, I am telling you now, you will achieve one of them or none of them or both. So if you all succeed in your roles, you can get both. If there's kind of more mixed successes, I'm going to ask you what your preferred of these two are, and you'll get that. If you roll very badly, you will not be able to get either before you realize you have to get the hell out of there. If you truly, deeply fuck up, like profoundly fuck up, then bad news, the dice have chosen against you this day.
As in there is a one on every D20. And look, they've all come up.
I won't say it's that extreme.
You underestimate our ability to profoundly fuck up.
Oh, no, that's why I'm saying it right now, is that I have eventualities for if and when you, as a reminder, profoundly fuck up again.
Yeah.
Because that has already happened.
It has.
I'm going to be generous once more, and I'm going to ask you all to give individual skill checks. You do not have to have one agreed upon skill. And again, this is all happening at the same time. We have previously stated that only Kaskrin is the one who's able to see this map, but I am very, very okay with that being gamified of, like, you can still be like, I choose to make a distraction with my action to buy me more time to dictate it to Val or Checkers. Like, that I'm not too worried about in terms of giving you more options to play around with.
So for this one, Checkers is going to use sleight of hand.
Okay.
Just because he's good at it. You know, worst case, we get that badge. Best case, he can help out with the map. And he gives Val his set of crayons in case she needs it for the cartography skill.
You use sleight of hand to slip crayons into Val's hand in a way that the guard doesn't notice.
Kaskrin is going to use perception because I really want to be able to look at that map as best I can. I'm a little bit far. I'm going to try to inch up a little bit, but I want to get the details of that map.
Yeah, absolutely makes sense.
So, well, my best skill is acrobatics. And I was trying to figure out how to work that in. I've got a pitch.
Okay. I'm open to it.
I would like to get up the side of the wall or jump up to the side and kind of hang on so I can get a better vantage point of the map and be able to see.
Can't you climb up walls? Don't you have
vertical movement, don't you?
Yeah. Don't you have always on staying up there? Climb?
Like I can't stop on a vertical surface.
I will counter pitch you. First of all, very into this. But we have described that there is indeed a fantasy coat rack in this room. And so instead of you having to stretch your limbs out and hold yourself up, which I think self could do with acrobatics, no problem. You could just perfectly perch on top of this like you are even more Ninja Batman.
But isn't that where the badge is hanging?
Yes, but you would still be kind of in the, be able to have a better vantage point as well there too. But either way, whatever you want, that sounds great.
Okay, do what you want.
Okay, yeah. Then I'm going to do that. The other option I was going to use was possibly insight to look at the map and kind of get into that Pentarchy headspace and be like, where would they put their powerful prisoners? Would it be at the bottom, at the top, in the middle?
I was going to do
mine. He's doing acrobatics.
You know what? I'm going to stick with acrobatics because I just got this feeling that that is more of the self thing.
Indeed.
So Val, what are you going to do?
Val would like to use insight to kind of align the map she can see and what insights Cass can give her as well into what she knows of Pentarchy architecture and see with this map, where is the point we need to go?
Yeah, and as a reminder, you guys still don't at this point know what is in this tower.
Right.
What you know is that it's weirdly guarded. You know that it is some sort of arcane kind of furnace. You know that there is portals, extra-dimensional portals above and below you.
That would like to vibe check the tower.
Yeah, and so
tower.
I think that makes sense of you just trying to we have to move quickly. I cannot study every inch of this 500 or whatever foot tall tower. I need to try to figure out quickly what to kind of hone in on.
Yeah.
I think that totally makes sense. And I will remind Jonathan that Mango is a part of this. And I will say also, we can wait until the last second to decide what Mango does, depending on how the rest of you guys roll as well.
Or can Mango provide help to one of the things?
Can Mango see what Selv is doing and just wrap Val up and hang her over the map too?
How long is Mango's tongue? Is it 50 feet long that he can just go all the way around?
How strong?
Yes.
Is it like a crane?
Mango is going to use athletics to crane Val in the position that she needs to be to study the map more properly.
I think that is phenomenal. I think that makes total sense. Okay, I'm going to ask everyone to roll, and I'm going to individually ask for your total success. Do not forget, you are indeed fatigued or have exhaustion.
I have inspiration.
Are you going to use it?
Yes.
Or are you just staying?
That's a
reminder, Nathan.
That's a reminder.
I have it.
I have this, but I am going to use it.
You also have a wand of fireball.
I will not use that right now.
Whoa.
I never know if that is going to happen.
Jonathan just could be excited that something is definitely going to happen.
Cackles are good or bad.
One way or the other. So, you are first to act, kind of once you guys use enough hand signals and mind links and whatever to formulate your plan and get on the same page about what you want, what is important to you, and how quickly you need to do it. So, Selv, you kind of move immediately quickly, and are you full, 4 points of contact, 2 feet, 2 hands on the top of this hallway?
I kind of imagine me propped up against the corner of the hall. Good news is, even with the -2, that is a total of 19 on my acrobatics check.
Nice. That is a success. Kaskrin, you know that you are the one who has to dictate this map. Because again, you are the only one who can see in color. And so I think next you're like, all right, I need to kind of get in position and I need to be in a place where I can read this out and just really, really focus in getting as many details out as humanly possible. So your perception check, please.
I have a 16 perception.
That is another success.
Oh, wow. Ooh,
nice. Okay. Pretty good.
Mango.
Yeah.
You've been tasked.
Yes.
With lifting Val. Mm-hmm. And you know that that's, I mean, Mango knows, well, I can probably lift anyone in this party, given enough time and tongue.
Right.
But you know you're on a deadline. You got to move quick. Can I have your athletic check, please?
So Mango was really warmed up from keeping watch for the rest of the party earlier. I rolled a natural 20.
Wow.
Dang.
For a total of 29.
Wow.
Jesus. Even with the minus two?
That is with the minus two.
Holy
damn,
wow.
Mango.
So to answer your question, tongue is strong.
Yeah, tongue is strong.
Tongue is strong.
Yep. Mango positioned you perfectly.
So, again, now you are right up there with Selv, and you have Kaskrin dictating some of this information to you. Now that you are closer and in this better position, you can start to make out some of the details. Even though you can't see in color, there's just enough gradient different in some of the lights and stuff that you're able to, with all this other assistance, start to process all this information. So,
amazing.
What did you roll?
With my inspiration, I and a minus two, Val has a 23.
Hey. Wow.
Okay. Yep. Was there ever any doubt that we would totally crush this?
100%.
Yes. deep, abiding doubt. Yes. Constant doubt. Checkers.
Yes.
You are the final pin in this plan.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like you're probably in a pretty good spot to snatch this ID. And now it's just a question of how quickly are you guys doing this operation and how successful are you? And how much of a just true, efficient SWAT team are you guys going to be? So you know you can snatch it, but now it's about like professional pride. You know what I mean?
Right. So I have squeezed every bit of luck out of this dice already just in the first two rolls. I rolled a second natural 20.
No!
I rolled two natural 20s for Mango and Checkers, giving Checkers a 25.
Checkers, please describe. So everyone is very focused on getting the map. That was your guys' priority. That was mission number one. And then it's like, all right, Checkers, you're taking care of the ID. You have so thoroughly crushed the obtaining of this ID. Please describe, what do they see standing or crouching or whatever before them as they look to see where how Checkers is doing in his mission?
So Checkers literally just walks up to the badge and takes it, like, very casual, very just like doo 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 doo, yoink, doo 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 doo, out back into the hallway. It's not even like he's trying to hide himself that well, but like, he knows that his technique is perfect.
Yes.
And this is like the heist scene that I've always wanted, at least, where like Val is like dangling from the ceiling from Mango. Selv is like in the background like a spider, like in one of the corners. Kaskrin is like doing his best, like tiptoe up as slow as he can go, not to draw attention. And Checker just walks up there and takes the thing.
Right.
It is truly flawless, and it's to the point where you know you're showing off.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, oh, I'm not even trying. I am showing how good I am by doing nonsense.
Yeah.
And it just works.
He's like doing it like walking on his hands. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
He gets over there, takes a sip of the guard's coffee, puts it back down.
You're just that fucking good.
Yep.
So you guys are in and out. That is five successes.
Woo-hoo!
You guys get in and completely silently, with some degree of mind link, I'm imagining Val just kind of says, okay, have enough. Let's get out. All five of you meet back in the elevator, and because of your guys' success, you were able to get a decent amount of information about this tower in addition to whatever this badge does. And, you know, there's some points of interest, certainly, that we will get into should you ask me to come up with more points of interest. But the most salient point, the one you were looking for the most, Val, with your sketched out map, or either either mental or physical.
The second they are like kind of going back to the elevator hallway, Val starts sketching out a map of the tower
with crayons.
Yes.
Sense checkers gave them to her.
Please, thank you. He just slipped it in and out of your hand multiple times at this point. You are able to go back to the obelisk and rearrange the runes and patterns therein to take you to the point of interest on your sketched out map that says holding cells. You guys once again feel that familiar are we going up, are we going down feeling. All of the obelisks all start to grate against one another, opening up into a new hallway. This one's a little bit more narrow. There is a very sturdy doorway. On top of this door is a very familiar symbol in that it has the eye of Celestia Dreamweaver carved almost rune-like on top of it. Checkers.
Yes.
Still holding on to the ID. You see right next to a handle is a little additional rune that is this eye, but smaller.
Okay.
From inside, you hear muffled voices, but presumably the walls here are a little too thick to make them out. And again, even this doorway is that obsidian black of the rest of this whole tower.
So Checkers will take the badge that he expertly stole from that guard, and he steps forward, moves the badge towards this rune on the side of the door, and just calls out, "Celestia, your chosen champion has arrived! Open!"
No one can see this, and this isn't canon, but the eye on top of the door is rolled.
Does the door open when I use the badge and call out for Celestia Dreamweaver?
The door clicks open.
Nice.
But not because you said it to. Not because you asked it to.
Yeah.
And now that the door's cracked a little bit, you can hear the voices. Really, one voice. Kind of monologuing. It's very strange. There's something off about it. It takes a second for you to realize that it sounds a lot like a recent encounter you guys had out on the road against your now definitely best friends, the crew of the Sky Stalker. Because the voice, while not the same, has a strange tinny quality to it, as it is saying,
"The foreman wanted you to look down the whole time. It's almost time. Look down and see what you helped accomplish."
Can we peek inside and see, like, does this sound like Captain Livingstone?
It doesn't sound like Captain Livingstone.
Okay.
But what it does sound like is the first mate.
Oh.
Who was inside of a large mechanized
the
suit.
Robot.
Yeah, okay.
And so there is kind of, again, that almost like it is coming out of a fantasy speaker, if you will.
Okay, okay.
Without going into too much detail, because you can't really see the dimensions too well or anything like that, the lone thing you can see as you peer through this crack is a grung.
Huh.
This creature is sitting probably 40 or 50 feet away from you in this, you must imagine, fairly large room. You hear this voice continue to drone on and yell, but you can't see it. And this creature opens an eye and sees you.
Huh.
Without moving, does a quick look once over on you. You can see his eyes open just a little bit. All you can make out is that he seems to be sitting behind some sort of arcane barrier. And that is when you hear loud mechanical footsteps from inside the room. And that is where we'll end this week's episode.
We were doing so well.
Yeah.
See you next time, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
You guys, once again, feel that familiar, are we going up, are we going down feeling. And?
Wait, does Val get electrocuted? Checkers does this.
Yeah, Checkers does this, 100%.
I'm trying to remember exactly. Oh, yes, yeah, so Checkers would do it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Nice try, Nathan.
Got
no.
Him. Fucking got him.
Val, you want to take some damage?
Would you like to be paralyzed?
Yeah.